Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos Pro Block Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales electos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Good morning, 97.1. It's a Wednesday. We've got a chance for you to win Lions tickets later in the show. Name that Lion. We'll play along. We've got Dan Campbell, 8 o'clock, Lions head coach out of the bye week. John, your power surge, always good for generating a conversation.
Yeah.
Twitch comment says, Indy should be number one, and Detroit shouldn't be one or even two. They're not in first place in their division.
Yeah, because that stupid tie. But I do, I mean, you could make arguments for all of those.
Well, but even if Green Bay had lost the game to Dallas, the game they tied, they'd have two losses like Detroit.
Right.
And they beat
have
Detroit.
Yeah, so, they have that ahead.
So Green Bay is in first place.
Yeah, but I think Green Bay, or I think Detroit plays better on the road. And they're more consistent in both locations than Green Bay has been.
Unless Green Bay's waking up with a 10-point win against Pittsburgh Steelers on the road last week. Look, the beauty of this is Detroit isn't going to be held to week one. They're going to have Thanksgiving to right that wrong. But that is still a month away.
Well, and you look at this and you say, okay, well, you know, how does Philly lose to the Giants?
Yeah,
that would be, I think, equal to the Lions, if they were to drop this one to the Vikings this week. Now, all of a sudden, that's a huge blemish. Like, some of these teams just have that huge blemish on their record. And, it's Green Bay has a huge blemish on their record.
You had Lions 1, Colts 2, Eagles 3, Chiefs 4, Bills 5, and Rams 6, notably Green Bay left out. For the doubts that center around the Lions, right, the guy that says they shouldn't be 1 or 2, for the people who don't view them maybe as a Super Bowl contender, what's holding you back? Like, no judgment. If you're a self-anointed Lions hater, you just don't see it. You have your doubts, however you would define that. What's holding you back? Like, when you hear John put him number one, and if you're kind of shaking your head, Well, why okay, are you shaking
even
your
if
head?
I put them at four, they're still a Super Bowl contender.
There are people who don't feel that way. So I would like to try to get their feedback on this. 248-539-9797. I think they know where you stand. And I'm right there with you, by the way. I think this team is the best team in the NFC as we sit today. Expect this team to be in the Super Bowl, and nobody scares me in the AFC. So we are talking about a Super Bowl football team. But for those who don't see it the way we see it, like, we are a show of discussion. What are we missing? What are you seeing? What's holding you back? What do they still need to prove to you? Because there are some big games coming up, right? They're going to face the Eagles in Philadelphia. They're going to face the Commanders, who dealt us that awful blow last year in the postseason. What do you need to see from the Lions? Maybe it's from a position group. Maybe it's from a player. Maybe it's a specific game that you're waiting to see. 248-539-9797.
The one thing I think would hold them back, and obviously I think they're a Super Bowl contender, the one thing that will hold them back, and I mentioned this yesterday, if Taylor Decker can't go for an extended length of time, if this shoulder issue becomes a bigger issue towards the end of the season, Skipper's not going to get it done.
And if not Manu, for four straight playoff games or three straight playoff games.
And if Manu can't even come back, like, you're down to Skipper is your backup tackle on both sides. He's your swing tackle. If all of a sudden, God forbid, he goes down, now what are you doing? You got Iwosika out there, or do you put one of the guards out there and put Iwosika at guard? I mean, is what do you do? That's why yesterday I said the need, and I know you said, well, there's not a starter, it can't be a need. Yeah, is to go out there and solidify that offensive line. Bring in another tackle that is not looking for a starting tackle, but somebody that is more capable than Dan Skipper. And I'm not saying get rid of Skip. He's great as bringing in the extra offensive lineman. You want to go big, all that stuff. That's fine. But if he is forced to start in the last 10 games, four of them, that's a huge concern. If he has to start any game in the postseason, huge concern.
It's a red flag.
Yeah, I mean, if they play Green Bay in the postseason, you want him blocking Micah Parsons?
Or Rashawn Gary and how they can mix it up with those two guys on the edges? Yeah, look. We learned this the hard way last year. It's a single elimination format. Doesn't matter if you were the better team in the regular season or if you have more all pros or if your roster is chock full of stars. It's single elimination, man. And your weakness on the wrong day ends your season. What's holding you back? If you're someone sitting out there on the sideline, not quite in the Super Bowl party, viewing this team as a real Super Bowl contender. Let's get to Steve in Clinton Township. You're on 97.1.
Hi. I just don't think I love them, but I don't think they're number one only because their two losses were against Green Bay and Kansas City. They've looked kind of, you know, not like a great team. Like, I understand Campbell goes for, you know, fourth downs and this and that. But last week he goes for the fourth down and then, you know, St. Brown, he drops it, which he doesn't normally do. In the first half, you know, they missed the field goal. Bates usually doesn't miss a field goal. They just look like they're flawed. And I love the Lions, and I want to believe it, but they just haven't, like proven yet. I understand they're going to play against, you know, good teams coming up. But
I'd ask you. So is it, hey, they win in Philadelphia and Steve's on board, or they have to look a certain way? Like, what are you waiting to see?
A little more consistent, but definitely a win in Philadelphia, and then I'm on board. I'm like, okay, yeah, you guys obviously – are the pros, but no more than me. But win in Philadelphia, definitely, because then they're going to Philadelphia Super Bowl champion, contender, and then yes. That proves it to me right there that, yeah, they can go to the Super Bowl and win it.
At that point, Aleem McNeil will be, in his fourth week back?
Yeah.
Should be peaking.
I also I want to make sure that we don't discredit some of their wins, because it feels like as soon as the Lions beat someone, it's all of a sudden, it's not a great win. And I know that Baltimore has fallen apart, especially with Lamar not being healthy. It sounds like he's going to be back this week. He's been full go at practice. But that win at Baltimore was a huge win. And the win against Tampa on Monday night was a huge win.
Those were primetime games against teams that I think are going to win their division. Those are playoff teams that the Lions played in prime time and handled their business and looked really good.
So my whole back would be, and why I put Philly ahead of them right now, and even in when you go to the power rankings, the Colts is the offensive line, like John. And I fear that in this window of success over the last few years for the Lions, you go back to the end of 22 even, that is this really going to happen to us? That the strength has become the weakness and it's going to cost them. That's like super cruel. And that might be my Lions history coming out where really everything else was ready to click. And then it's the offensive line and the Ragnow retirement that cost them.
I'm not really that concerned about the interior of the offensive line. My major concern is the health of Taylor Decker.
Yeah, I know, but if he's here, then you are retooling potentially because of this. There's a snowball effect. I'll say this: I'm not blaming it on Ragnow necessarily. I'm in the moment. It is Decker concerns, but the overall thing is that one of the best offensive lines in football is what ends up costing them. It just didn't time out right, you know. I will say what's encouraging to me is they're eighth in total offense and eighth in total defense.
Right.
When I looked up the defense, I was a little surprised by that. You know what? Super Bowl champions are usually top 10 in both.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get to the phones here in a second. Want to know from you if you're someone skeptical, you have doubts, you call yourself a Lions hater or not, what's holding you back from believing in this team as a Super Bowl team? Ticket Tech says, with the deadline approaching, I'd love to see Brad get some help on the offensive line to John's point. That's Joey in a van. They need to consistently beat top-tier teams like Green Bay and Kansas City. Right now, they're 2-2 against such teams. Anyone who says the Lions aren't in a select group of the top teams aren't looking at the rest of the teams in the league. Everyone has blemishes, many ugly blemishes. Every team has flaws. I guess when you have Daryl from Macomb calling in, this is what you get, Nick in Clarkston. Well, if you are Daryl in Macomb, call in and defend yourself. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Nick. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
What's up?
Good.
Good, good. So I'm not a Lions hater by any means. I love this team. I think right now they're a glass cannon, where I think they're capable of beating any team that they come up against at any given week. But if any injury comes their way, I know it's next man up, but I think this team could fall apart. It's our depth chart has taken a big hit in the secondary and our offensive line. It seems like our only strongest, most stable core is our wide receivers right now. And if we could get a couple of key pieces, like in that offensive line or in that secondary, we could really just knock it out of the park.
So they didn't prove to you last week when, as you say, you know, if they get a key injury, I mean, everyone in the secondary was out, yet they played well enough to get a win against a team that throws the ball around.
No, you're absolutely right. And I praise the defense for it. It's just how many times can that happen?
Well, it happened 15 times last year when the defense was just devastated with injuries up front, different position, but
you're right. And I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to doom and gloom.
No, and Nick, I don't want to accuse you of that. I actually just want to follow up. I'm not interrogating you. Like, is there a certain thing you need to see? Is it a certain game they need to win, a certain position group? You know, you highlighted some of the areas they're banged up. Like, what do you need to see to be like, hey, man, I'm right there with you guys. This team's winning the Super Bowl.
It might be the Commanders. I think if we can really put that behind us, and I think that we will, but if we can go in there and win and really exercise those demons from last year, there's nothing holding us back.
Appreciate it, Nick. Good stuff.
Like they did against Dallas. Last year,
Or even San Francisco the year before. Yep. They had something to prove in that spot. Remember, there was a spot they didn't need to win, but
right, but they went out there and they admitted that, like, hey, that one was, bothered them.
Yeah, it was intentional. Twitch says they'll be judged by Thanksgiving Day.
Green Bay.
Yeah. And a couple texts echoing it says, it's going to suck if we lose the North because of a stupid tie. And regardless of where you have the Lions or Green Bay, the Packers are winning the division. Their schedule is exponentially easier than Detroit, even though I think Detroit's the better team.
You can win the division because of the tie, too, by the way.
Right.
simply if they each team wins out, you get to Thanksgiving, you beat them, you're ahead of them by the tie.
Yes. Right.
Can I say something here just in what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
Everybody's either going to one extreme or the other. This is just constructive criticism. If you think the team has a flaw right now and therefore you don't have confidence, that doesn't make you a bad person.
No, we're not vilifying anybody, by the way. No.
Right. It's just like, I think the way the world is right now, where one thing has to be 8 miles over here or 10 miles over here, and there can't be some middle ground here. That's what we're just trying to do.
Right, and we're able to discuss that, like the last caller that called in and said if there's an injury. Well, we had 3 injuries and a suspension last week, and so I'm just trying to point out where I think, where I'm coming from, not necessarily in terms of the power surge, but in terms of the obstacles that this team has been able to overcome.
Get to Duncan in Detroit. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning.
So I'm an optimist. So my first thing is, Alain McNeil being back, I don't know how many people don't remember how great we was with defense last year before him and Hutch went down. But mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to disrupt that pocket, get a quarterback, no time to throw. And I think that's going to help our defense tremendously. My only knock is I'm worried about Jared Goff not throwing the ball to J-Mo deep. He doesn't do it. I can't understand why. Like, he's a 4-2, what? Most DBs is not as fast as. Give him a try. Give him a chance. And I think at least twice a game, and they open up the offense even more.
There's another gear to this offense, and, yeah. And it's one where he's featured. You know, we've taken phone calls on J-Mo a couple days in a row here now. They got to protect up front. John, to your point about making sure they're stable up front.
Yeah.
And those shot plays are going to come.
So here's what I'm taking out of that. I'm reminded of John Madden had this rule with Randy Moss. He said, I would throw it up to him twice a quarter. Before it was a thing, F it, Randy Moss down there somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, are we saying that Jameson Williams is to that level of Randy Moss? And look, Madden said, hey, look, that's 8 times a game. So no, I don't think we would do it 8 times a game, but are we at that point with J-Mo where
2 times a game?
Yeah, throw it.
Once a half to challenge?
F it, J-Mo down there somewhere.
Ideally, it's coming off of hard play action,
sure.
Safety's biting, he gets a step, and you just go, hey, go get the football. Ticket text on something that's holding them back. Easy answer, Jared Goff. We can't win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback. Another one says 2 reasons. Goff is not firing on all cylinders this season. And the Lions' defense prior to now. I don't understand what that means. It says, I hope they learn their lesson from the Tigers. Sitting on your hands does nothing when a championship is within reach. Steve in Rochester. They have no edge opposite. Hutch is the biggest reason. A secondary prone to injury, and Goff chokes under pressure equals no Super Bowl. These are the concerns people have. I believe this offense still has another level to unlock. They've looked great at times, but there's still something a bit off from last year with Ben Johnson's offense. Great teams get better as the season goes, though, and I have confidence in this team to be playing their best ball offensively when it matters most.
So, in regards to Jared Goff, I mean, does anybody really believe he's having a bad season? Like, I mean, he's 13th in total passing yards, but his completion percentage is 75%. And he hasn't hit J-Mo deep, but J-Mo has, in large part, and I know this is why people say, oh, well, you're paying $30 million for a decoy. Defenses have been taking away J-Mo. Amon-Ra St. Brown is going off so far this year. So if a defense is trying to take away J-Mo, they can't take away both. They're trying to take away the explosive play. And it's death by 1,000 cuts when you have Amon-Ra St. Brown for 12, Amon-Ra St. Brown for 15, Laporta for 8, Jahmyr Gibbs for 25.
Yep.
I just don't, I'm not buying into that.
Jared Goff on the season, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
If you want to tell me he could have played better in certain spots, like they needed to score more than 7 points in the second half at Arrowhead, hey, I'll listen to that. If you don't like the points they left on the table against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football, cool, heard, gotcha. But I also don't think he's having some terrible season.
Right.
And I do think it comes back to what you continue to point out. Taylor Decker, getting them right, solidifying a consistent front five, because then you'll run it. You'll have time to get J-Mo the ball, and Goff's going to have fewer mistakes. I mean, it all just goes back to that. Tech says it's unrealistic to think the Lions will win every game. I'm on board that they've shown they're a contender. They've shown they can make the postseason, and I think it's a Super Bowl team. Guys, it's got to be a dominant win against the Packers on Thanksgiving to right the wrongs, Tom and Canton. The biggest shortfall is Goff. He's a pocket quarterback. When the pocket crumbles, so does he, Kevin in Farmington Hills. Love the Lions. I'm looking for them to prove they can win a close game against one of the other top teams. So they get punished because Tampa didn't keep it close.
Right.
That's what that text is telling me.
Yeah.
If Tampa would have scored a touchdown in the fourth to make it a one-score game, then this guy would have been satisfied.
Right. Or you go to Baltimore and you put up 38. Now, I know the defense isn't great this year, yeah, but you come away going to Baltimore with a win and find a way to stop Lamar Jackson with seven sacks.
Yep.
And Derrick Henry.
But apparently it wasn't a close game, so it doesn't count.
It was closer than Tampa.
I know. He says they have to win a close game against the top team.
Okay.
Defense stepped up against the Bucs. The caller was right about injuries, though. Practice squad guys aren't going to sustain long-term. Get a decent edge in a corner, and we're good.
Well, I agree that week in, week out, you don't want to have a whole bunch of backups in there. But Kirby Joseph will be back. Brian Branch will be back this week. And I
DJ Reed and Terrion Arnold at some point, too.
Right, and I think Amik Robertson has played really well. And he may not be a quote-unquote starter, but I think on a lot of other teams, he would be.
We all want the Lions to add because we want them to get better. And if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, and other teams are going to add. But it's going to be tough to predict the injury that you're filling.
Right.
Right? Like
at this time of year.
Right. Hey, I got to make a decision next Tuesday. Who's going to get injured in January? And I got to be right. You know what I'm saying? Like when you really think about it like that, like, yeah, they should do their due diligence and bolster some key position groups. But the wrong guy gets injured in January and you're going to have to make up for it in other areas.
Right. Which, okay, we saw him do week in, week out
on Monday
last
night.
Week.
How about Aleem McNeil? Let's connect some dots here.
Yeah.
The Legion of Whom had a great day. A lot of that's because Aleem McNeil and the D-line did their job and Baker was uncomfortable. He missed some guys that were open because I think his timing was off in that Monday night game.
Well, it was off and he was getting hit. He was getting pushed out of the pocket. And that's kind of where he excels, is being that gunslinger, get out of the pocket and make something happen. But he just couldn't do it against this defense.
Hey, a couple things here, programming notes. Later, we're going to do an email bag for Michigan and Michigan State. If you have any Spartan or Wolverine questions, get them over. Gator will handle most of the Spartan questions. I will handle most of the Wolverine questions. Text us at 248-539-9797. Kang will sift through them, and the best ones we will read on the air. So 248-539-9797, going into another weekend of college football. Gator, first of all, Kang, thanks Jalen Phillips, the additional Jalen Phillips. If the Lions can go get the edge rusher, the outside linebacker edge from Miami, then people will be talking Super Bowl here. He thinks that's the attainable trade deadline move that they can make that really, really bumps them up. I don't know if it does it to fan satisfaction. That's why I read the text from one of the people on YouTube. Gator thinks it's a one-stop shopping with not only edge rusher, but a tackle and a defensive back of a familiar name, Fatu Melifamu. If the Lions wanted to do more with Miami, they could. But that brings us to the first, this text we get from Chris 96. And I love Chris's conviction. I can't believe that he thinks it's this obvious. He writes, Trey Hendrickson would only cost a second-round pick. And after this Sunday is only owed $8 million. Not trading for him at this point is ridiculous. It'd make us favorite to win the Super Bowl. They already are one of the teams to beat. I think they're still favored to win the NFC. Addition to Hendrickson makes them way better. If the Lions can get him for a second-round pick, that means the highest offer they got is probably a third-round pick. Because if Cincinnati's giving him to Detroit, that means that Cincinnati knows that they're handing Detroit a piece that might make them the 37th.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So, I made the new Eggo protein waffles the other day for my kids, and they couldn't believe how good they tasted, or that they were packed with protein. They have the same great Eggo taste we all know and love, plus 20% of your daily protein. They seriously taste amazing! Whether it's part of your breakfast before school or a quick bite before practice, new Eggo protein waffles and pancakes are an easy way to keep everyone happy. Head to your local grocery store to fuel your morning with Eggo protein waffles and pancakes, available at retailers nationwide.
Second pick of the second round. So essentially, Chris thinks that nobody else will offer more than a second round pick. If anybody else offers a second round pick for Trey Hendrickson, they're going to take the other team's offer. Now, Trey, if he has some say about it, he may say, I don't want to go anywhere unless they're signing me long term, in which case Detroit isn't in play. They're just that it's extraordinarily unlikely that Detroit would be in play.
Yeah, I don't know how he would have any say in this. Last year of his contract, and it's been a cantankerous one. They were able to negotiate a way to give him some more money for this year. That paid him a pretty good sum, but nonetheless, his deal's done. So he's going to go where he's going to go. How do I feel about that texter? Think that it's only going to be a second round pick? Mm-hmm. I think that's short-sighted or being somewhat naive, because there would be such high demand for a player like Trey Hendrickson from a bunch of teams. There would be at least a handful of teams that would want to add an edge rusher. So that creates the bidding war. And I don't think somebody like Washington goes into it saying, we'll give you a fifth round pick and you work up from there. I mean, if let's say they were to try to lowball it and go with a third round pick. Okay, easy enough. The next team is yeah, I got second round pick. And then now you've got multiple teams saying second round pick. And then you end up, if you're Cincinnati, and you say, okay, best and final offer. I need it by, 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. And someone throws in a first-round pick. I'd be surprised if he went for anything less than a first-round pick. Because the teams that would be offering that first-round pick are teams are going to be picking at the end of the first round.
Yep.
So you got to keep that in mind of what the pool of teams available to get him consists of?
I want to just offer up one variable that should be taken under consideration. Because the goal isn't to excite the fan base on Tuesday. Goal is to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Trey Hendrickson's got an injury that slowed him down this year. You don't want to get a trade for the shell of Trey Hendrickson. You want to trade for full-octane Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to play him anytime soon. I'm getting Trey Hendrickson because I want to win the Super Bowl, right? So mm-hmm. it means I need him down the stretch.
Yeah,
does it mean I need him for game 9 on the season to start next week for the Lions if the Lions were to acquire him? I don't need him then. If he's not ready to go, stay. You know, treat him like you would Taylor Decker. You just, when you're ready to go, you're ready to go. We know you're going to be ready to go at some point, but we acquired you to add to our team. Not to be our team, but to add you to our team, so we'll bring you in when you're ready to go.
Well, he re-aggravated the injury this past weekend, and it's a hip. And, you got to be careful that you're not trading for damaged goods. The Bengals stunningly said they believe it's not significant. But
well, they also say they're not going to trade him.
Yes. Yep. But I think you just not need to be a little bit cautious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You have to, and trades get nixed all the time because of medicals. So, yeah, you got to do your due diligence on this.
Dr. David Chow.
Yes.
The injury guy online. Trey Hendrickson attempted to play through his hip injury, but ended up aggravating it and leaving the game early. When a player returns too soon and can't finish, it usually means a longer recovery ahead. See if he plays this week. 248-539-9797. Tom in Oxford, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? So here's my take. If I'm the Lions, I think our defensive, pass rush is pretty good. I'd rather see him get like a middle of the road pass rusher and a higher end cornerback to help with the depleted defensive backs. As far as Trey Hendrickson, we just got to remember Dallas has got 2 first round picks and is looking for a full time pass rusher beyond this year. That Dallas would probably offer them one of those first round picks plus a long term contract, and that's something we can't compete with.
Nope. I mean, look, there's a market, right? And the market. Does Dallas want a 31-year-old pass rusher? Isn't he 31? 31? Is he 31, 32?
Like
yeah. I'm not sure Dallas wants that, given where they are. I mean, Jerry probably does. He likes collecting toys.
Well, yeah. Jerry also wants to win right now. So, you can see that. What they need is defense. Their offense is pretty good. They need defense.
He turns 31 in a month, by the way. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Lions have assets in future draft picks. They don't want to cut into the players that are helping them now. They obviously have a ton of young players that would be coveted by a lot of teams, but they're not going to trade any of those guys. So
I don't think the part where, would Dallas want to sign to a long-term contract, I don't think that mm-hmm. matters as much. And I think what matters is what the compensation is. Now, if that is the impetus for Dallas to offer more because they're going to sign them to that deal, then I get you. And that's what's going to end up trumping what the Lions would offer.
Yep. 248-539-9797. If you want to continue this direction, talking trade deadline stuff again, Albert Breer saying that the Lions continue to be one of the teams that is calling about edge rushers. I think they're keeping tabs on Trey, and I think they're making sure that the market, they want to know that they have a full sense of what the market looks like, as they should, just to make sure that they can't get somebody who helps them there. Because it's not a crisis. This is a team that's top 10 in pressure rate, top 10 in sacks, and only getting healthier. So we'll see how serious they are about that. In the meantime, I want to upgrade at the offensive tackle, backup offensive tackle spot. Wouldn't hate a veteran quarterback. Shh, don't tell anybody. And somebody in the secondary to help out. But Legion of Whom probably made them feel a little bit better. You don't want to be intoxicated by their success 2 weeks ago against Tampa. Meanwhile, there's a game against Minnesota that we will get into a little bit later on. We'll hear from the coordinators. Straight ahead, Gators' big mistake last night.
All right.
10:46 for that here on 97.1 The Ticket. Okay, so sometimes we do this thing, who's on Team Gator? I can't imagine you're the only one.
I can't be. I cannot be.
And I want to know if there are others that are on Team Gator.
Look, I put in there was a time investment involved with this, right? That's the number one reason why what happened happened, is because my time was being well spent until I thought it wasn't.
Yeah. So look, I mean, all getting a little bit encouraged each passing day by the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And last night they have a 3-1 lead late in LA against the Kings, and the Kings pull the netminder.
Well, the game was just, I mean, they get down 1-0 on it, gave up a shorthanded goal, and then they score right away to make it 1-1. And then they
on
score
on the same power play, by the way.
Yeah. Then they score in another power play to go up 2-1. And then they get a goal to go up 3-1.
A beautiful goal.
Yeah, that was a great goal. The second goal, I'm not sure that that should have stood, but it did.
The tip, yeah. High stick.
Looked like a high stick from Casper, but they allowed it. So they're up 3-1 with like 3 minutes left. And
Kings,
they pull the goaltender.
Kings pull the goaltender. They score one empty net goal, and that's, you know, all right.
Not an empty net goal.
They had emptied their net, so they had the extra attacker, and then they pull the goalie again, and they get another one.
To tie it up.
The Wings give up two goals with the extra attacker when the Kings have an empty net. Goes to overtime, and in overtime, here's what happened. Kang, stop it. Stop it right there. Kings score in overtime.
And it's about that time that I got pissed. I turned off the TV because it's like 1:15. I threw my remote into the couch and yelled out a blanking Wings.
And then
blowing a 2-goal lead with 3 minutes to go. Why did I stay up to 1:15 for this? Oh, I'm so glad I stayed up to 1:15 to see them lose. And then I'm trying to calm myself down. TV's off. I'm turning off lights. And I'm like, at least they got a point, right? It's a point. It's a point on the road. I can't be too pissed about that. But I'm going to bed, and the dog's already in the bed. Close the door. I'm like, all right. Life's okay. I'm fine. It's okay. And then
here's what happened after he turned the TV off.
3:00. Good to have you with us. Week from today, basically to the minute, the NFL trade deadline. And we haven't done any of this. And frankly, the Lions haven't given us much of a reason to. They've answered the bell with just about every concern. I think this comes down to a matter of your perspective. Wants versus needs. I don't know. I feel like every team has needs. It's a salary cap league. It's a 53-man roster. I've said for years, these rosters should be in the 60s. The injuries you have now, they won't be there later, but new ones will arise. I just don't view anything as a want. I view everything as a need. Mm-hmm. If you are trying to win a Super Bowl, you're in the model of I need to get better, always. So, look, I'm not mad if you just say, well, I don't need anything. Well, okay, well then what do you want? The bottom line is you are one of the very few teams in this league that has earned the right. Hear what I'm saying. You've earned the privilege, the right to be aggressive. Most teams don't have that right. They're out of line doing it. Then they haven't earned it. They're not a founders member like Rico. You're wearing a crested smoking jacket when you go get the morning newspaper. So I want to have that conversation with you of whether it's a want or a need. Can we not argue? Can we just talk about what you want your team to do a week from today? Now, the expectations of whether Brad Holmes does anything, it's another thing I'm not interested in. It's boring to me. I have no idea. No one can predict him, and you just let it roll. Mm-hmm. So as we sit here today, what do you want a week from today? Whether you think it's a need or a luxury, I don't care. You know why I'm setting it up this way.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste time arguing with people on semantics. 248-539-9797. Talk to me.
No, I'm with you. I mean, because you see in the NFL, man, one injury and the next one play, and next thing you know, your star player's foot's going the other way, and it's like,
all right, too soon. Too soon.
I was talking about Fred Warner.
That felt like a Scatabo reference.
Boy, Boy. You know, his foot was backwards first. Anyway. No, but you just never know. So I look at this Lions team and...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So, I made the new Eggo protein waffles the other day for my kids, and they couldn't believe how good they tasted or that they were packed with protein. They have the same great Eggo taste we all know and love, plus 20% of your daily protein. They seriously taste amazing. Whether it's part of your breakfast before school or a quick bite before practice, new Eggo protein waffles and pancakes are an easy way to keep everyone happy. Head to your local grocery store to fuel your morning with Eggo protein waffles and pancakes, available at retailers nationwide.
Whereas before, Mike, it was like, man, you got to go out there. Yes, would I love another rush edge to go along with Aiden Hutchinson? Yes. But now I'm starting to think now that maybe you want to go and get another offensive lineman. Just this whole Taylor Decker every week. Is he practicing? Is he not practicing? Is he playing? Maybe we'll give him this day off. You may want to look at going out there and getting a tackle or at least a guy who can, you know, play guard and tackle so that if anybody goes down, he can kind of go in different spots. I would be looking that way because your offense is humming. Your offense can carry this team if need be. You saw with no secondary back there, the offense went out there, did their job. You don't want this thing to slow down. I would probably look at trying to improve this offensive line. I would put that as a top priority over getting that edge rusher that everybody wants.
David? Here's the thing, because I know a lot of people are talking secondary because you have a lot of injuries there. You're dealing with two safeties right now that are completely banged up, and your corners, I mean, you lost one for a long time. DJ Reed is going to be gone for a long time. But I'm still in the market for an edge rusher. Because no matter what you do there, you get that better and you strengthen that, it makes your secondary better no matter who is back there. You get to the quarterback quick. The cornerbacks know the ball has to come out fast. They don't have to cover as long. So I'm still there for the edge rusher.
Okay. Kenny.
I agree with the man to my left. I know, and he's right, by the way. I know Middays did a Twitter poll of some sort where they asked which is the biggest need, and most people, I guess the majority said secondary. I think you make your secondary better by adding up front. I've always felt that way. And it shows that what look at what happened last week is we thought we were about to get housed around a little bit in the secondary, and we were fine enough. I mean, how many pass yards did we allow? How many points did we allow? I just feel like if you add up front, you every phase behind that phase of the defense gets better. So I'm with David.
Here's the interesting thing. So if you look at just known passing downs, you've seen the Lions moonlight a little bit, moving Aquaman, Minty Fresh, Mr. Aquadine, or Almondine Muhammad.
Aqua Fresh.
They've been moving him inside, and it hasn't worked. He's done nothing. But the return of Aleem plus three defensive ends is, I think, what they want to do on third downs. Well, those defensive end options are Minty Fresh, Pete Nowoski. You know, look, it's not ideal. It's Aiden, Aleem, and then we'll figure it out. You could say, well, Davenport's coming back. Is he? The first time he gets a tummy ache, he'll be out for another 6 weeks. Yeah, again, it'll always be about I'd rather have a dominating front than a dominating secondary. And the pass rush has to work with the coverage and vice versa. But I know DJ Reed's coming back. I know Terry Arnold's coming back. I know what I have in Amik Robertson. And I do this Legion of Whom thing. I think you've developed some quality depth here that you could draw upon later in the year. Mm-hmm. I think up front, look, I'm always going to lean that way. And I don't think it has to be a superstar. Let me be very clear about it, okay? It doesn't have to be some huge name. But you know someone who's having a really great year for a really bad team? You know, for you PFF loyalists who sit there like Mel Tucker in a hotel room looking at PFF, do you know who's been top five edge rusher this year? Who? The man who created this.
Chase Young
for the New Orleans Saints.
No, you don't want him.
I'm just telling you, in a prove it deal,
right?
In a prove it season.
Oh no! I'm being facetious. Yes, I would take him, but Lions fans will say, "But you know, look at what he did. The 49ers got rid of him, and now he got banished from New Orleans."
I'm just making a point. Bad team. We're not throwing out Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby stuff. I'm saying. Possibly this attainable. Yeah, it's not even like the hotness. Like this morning, it was Kayvon Thibodeau. And then, you know, one reporter like Garofalo goes, there's no interest. And then the New York actual beat reporters are, yeah, teams are calling. The Giants are headed nowhere. They have Abdul Carter. They have Brian Burns, who, by the way, is playing out of his mind. They have Dexter Lawrence, who's not playing out of his mind. He looks like a blob this year. But the point is, it's attainable. And I don't know how that would make you worse. So it's just, I want to know where people are at. Look.
No, Mike, it's a great idea, but I don't think Lions fans would wrap their heads around that because they would say, well, we could do better.
Okay, but you can't because of cost and money and things. Look, I have another name. I'll give it to you next because I want to stay timely. Oh. But let me throw the number out. 248-539-9797. Don't worry about wants and needs. You just tell me who's here next week on the trade deadline if you're running the team. We don't need to argue. Please. And if you want to call up and say the team doesn't need anything, I have an idea for you. Call after 6 o'clock. I won't be here to hear it. Do whatever you like. Every team in football can get better.
All right, John, we got the trade deadline a week from today. It's sneaking up on people.
It is. And I mean, a couple of years ago, I remember Stoney and I doing this, and it was kind of a hot topic because the trade deadline for the NFL, it's 17 games, right? And so where do you put it? It seems a bit early because there are still a lot of teams that we talk about. Cincinnati, are they going to try and hold out as long as possible? If they do, it's going to be past the trade deadline, and then Trey Hendrickson's not a guy that would be on the market. I don't know what they decide because it is early. If it was just a year or a week or two later, I think there might be more movement at the trade deadline. And I think the NFL trade deadline is one where there's less movement than there is in any other sport.
You're right.
It's hard. It's there are some positions where it's just really difficult to insert player and have impact. One of the guys I think for the Detroit Lions, and I think I mentioned him last week. Maybe it was in the Thursday touchdown, but it's Rick Woolen from Seattle Seahawks.
So the initial response is, well, why would they trade away a starting corner when they're a good football team?
Well, it doesn't fit Mike McDaniel's defense. And so when you're looking at what they do, they don't do a lot of man coverage. There's a lot of zone blitz. We obviously saw it here in Michigan.
Yeah.
And Rick Woolen is, I mean, his specialty is man coverage,
which is the Lions thing.
Right. And he's 6'4". He has really high end speed. And obviously we don't know when DJ Reed's going to be back. We don't know when Tiriano is going to be back. And yes, the secondary played at a high level against Tampa Bay. I don't expect that type of performance by all of those guys week in, week out.
Especially not deep in the playoffs.
Right. And so if you're looking for a guy that would fit in, and this is his fourth year. And so, you know, his contract, he's not been renewed. He's a guy that's going to play for a while in the NFL. I just don't think it's going to be in Seattle. So
he could just be a mercenary, come here for a year, help the Lions get over the top.
Could be, but also could be a guy that if they don't believe Tarion Arnold is going to be the guy, hey, insert Rick Woolen.
Yeah. They have to pay him, though.
Yes, they would have to pay him. Yes.
What is the Lions' biggest need? Is it corner? Is it edge? John, I actually don't think they have a clear need. I think there's wants. You may want a number two corner. Again, I think their number one is DJ Reed, and we will see him again this season. Surprisingly, the pass rush has been phenomenal.
Right.
Nobody expected this. They're number three in the NFL in sacks per game. They don't have a need. I think they have wants.
I do think they have one need.
What's the need?
I think they have a need at offensive tackle. Because if Taylor Decker is going to miss any length of time or possibly any time in the postseason, you can get by at game to game with Dan Skipper. I think we all learned that Giovanni Manu is just not ready yet.
Saying a number three tackle, like you're not trading for someone to start number two over. Tackle.
No, not to start, but
like when I say that, I'm saying Sewell and Decker, you have your two starting tackles. You're looking for a swing tackle, the third tackle.
Right. And so I'm counting on Penei Sewell to be healthy.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't count on I don't count on the fact that Decker's going to be there every single week. So I want somebody that can come in and start maybe for a couple of games and do a better job than we've seen from Skipper or from Manu. So it's not a starter per se, not to come in and replace a current starter, but to replace one that may not be available for, could be quite a number of games throughout the course of the rest of the season.
Look, I'm not going to fight you on reinforcing the offensive line because we know how critical it is for this team hitting their ceiling, for them to be the elite offense we want them to be, for Jared Goff to be the quarterback he can be, to run the football the way they want, to win a shootout if it comes to it, because you got to win multiple ways deep in the playoff run. I wouldn't fight you on it, but they're not trading for a starting tackle.
Right.
So that's why there's not like this need that they have. There's some wants. Yeah, you'd want depth on the offensive line. Right. You'd want depth in the secondary. John, you can never have enough pass rushers, right? Like, right. I still think there's merit to adding an edge player, but the needs aren't there. This team has really rounded into a complete football team with no glaring need.
So I don't want to get into a semantical argument with you. I think having somebody to share time with Taylor Decker is a need. I really do. And because what did we say going into the season? Now, the question wasn't about Decker or Sewell, and there was some question about Glasgow, but at least he's got experience. The question was going to be at the guards. If you don't have an offensive line that can protect Jared Goff or run the football,
you're screwed.
Yeah. And so you get into the playoffs, and are you willing to stake
the season on
Decker's health?
Well, look, they've already sat him a couple weeks. I'd imagine if it's not getting better, they're going to have to sit him down the stretch a little bit too to get him to be at his best for the playoffs.
Right. John, so what if that happens in Washington? What if that happens against Philly Philly? What if that happens in down the stretch run when you have to be able to move the football and protect your quarterback?
the best version of the Lions has Taylor Decker starting for this team come January.
Yes.
I can't predict the severity of any injury that's going to happen after this weekend.
No, but I think we can look at the track record and say, yeah, I don't think he's going to be available for every single game, and you're hoping that he is available for every single game in the postseason. I don't necessarily know that that's true.
So that's what I'm taking out of this, is you have some doubts that he is going to be able to play in the playoffs.
Right.
What kind of tackles are on the market?
Well, I mean,
because you sent along a list of 25 players that may be dealt. ESPN put it together. I'll give you a second to scroll through it. A lot of these guys are corners and edge players, and I think those are the natural names that the Lions fans have been looking at.
The only one that's on this list is Braxton Jones from the Bears, which you're probably not going to get one in division. And
that's not to say there aren't tackles available.
Right, but this is where I'm relying on Brad Holmes and his research.
Yeah.
And also his ability to make phone calls and say, hey, you've got two or three tackles. Would you like some draft capital?
248-539-9797. Let's start with Bays in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, boss?
What's up?
All right, man. I've been kind of thinking about this for the past couple weeks. Everybody's talking about we need a defensive end, we need a lineman, we need a corner. That's fine. We do need all those. But personally, man, we need a wide receiver, too. We can't deal with Jameson Williams getting, whether he's not getting targeted or not, that means you're not getting open. And then you're getting one catch, two catches a week for $33 million. Forget the contract stuff. But, like, we need a Nate Burleson. We need a Golden Tate. Even Marvin Jones, man, was doing something here as a number two. Like, we can't go into the playoffs with just St. Brown. You know what I'm saying? Tesla hasn't woken up yet. But, yeah, maybe we can kind of start bringing that up more, because it's week eight, week nine, or whatever we're in. And, this dude has 19 catches or whatnot. Maybe he's a great talent, but I don't know if he's a fit or not, because he's just not getting open. And if he is, he's not on page with golf. So we do need a wide receiver, too.
Wow. That would not have been, right? Is that the radio, or are you still talking?
No, that's me. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm just saying, how you feel about, like, how many more games? But I mean, when is trade deadline? Like, in a couple weeks? Like, do you wait till
one week?
Game,
one
game,
week from today. They're only going to play one more football game before they have to decide what they're doing at the deadline.
Exactly. So, I mean, personally, would you, like, for a playoff push in this division and this, would you get a number two? Like, would you want to see what's out there for a number two receiver and put some pressure on James? Because, again, I don't want to deal with it again. You know what I'm saying? I know golf, when he gets pressured, we do need a line. When he gets pressured like he did against Washington, he gets all panicky and all that stuff. But I think it would benefit if we at least look to see if there's a wide receiver two. Not a regular wide receiver, not like the Green Bay Packers over wide receiver threes that act like they're wide receiver ones. But you know what I mean? Like, I would want to put pressure on Jameson. Like, hey, man, we need you.
That wide receiver obviously would have been near the bottom of the list for me.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people ain't talking about it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Defensive end, edge rusher or corner. I get it, but I mean, offensively, sometimes when we stall and they're, doubling or they put a blanket on St. Brown at times, who's going to step up? Because it ain't Jameson. He ain't doing nothing. I like him. But I was the one talking big this year. Like, yeah, man, third year, round three, all that stuff, he's going to be – he ain't doing nothing, man. Ain't nothing. You want to sit there and say
I just don't think J-Mo's been a problem for this football team.
No.
Like, he doesn't have the stats or the numbers. And maybe some of this is John Morton came in and said he was going to have a big year. And as we're sitting at the bye, he has like 280 yards. So there's like maybe a disconnect expectation-wise. But John, he's playing a winning brand of football. He blocks down the field. He stretches safeties. We're two games ago, he was six catches and a touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he's a problem or a guy they need to replace or even upgrade on this football team.
He's a problem for defenses, not for the Lions. He's a problem for defenses, and that's why you see, we ask the question all the time, and we ask this question a lot of other teams in regards to, how does so-and-so receiver get so wide open? It's the same thing. Like, teams are opposing fan bases. How do you leave Amon-Ra St. Brown so open? Well, because you've got a cap on the defense. You're trying to prevent the big play to J-Mo.
Well, think about it. If you run the ball, teams have to commit in the box. And if J-Mo is going to push safeties back, like it's going to create these giant spaces underneath for players like Laporta and St. Brown, who's been a huge season for the Lions. It all plays complementary.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they have this need at receiver.
No.
You let us know. What's the biggest need? What do you want to see him do? Deadline's a week from today. It's 97.1.
Get back to your feedback in a minute. You missed this a couple days ago, Gator. Kang saw it. You know the workstations out there that we sit at?
Yeah.
There's three workstations that have access to editing bays and TV monitors and computers. You know, two monitors there and do most of my show prep there. Kang was sitting in the workstation next to me and he said something like, check this out. And I started to roll the chair over and I just fell out of the chair. I just fell out. Like what? I went to roll sideways like this.
Yeah.
And the whole chair fell. The whole chair toppled over.
Yeah.
And down I went. I had that moment where I thought I was going to save it.
Yeah, it's not the first. It won't be the last.
No, I just...
I'm not even mildly surprised.
I just fell out of the damn chair.
Bam, shots fired, Gator.
Well, I mean, come on. You've seen Doug sit down in a chair. Is there anybody that is more careless in a chair than Doug Karsh?
First of all, you're correct about that. I'll give you that much. You're definitely correct about that.
If it doesn't have wheels, I'm immediately start to tilt the chair.
But I've always wondered, like, I'm like, when I find out like an old person falls down, I'm like, how does that happen? And then I saw it happen.
Right. Oh no!
I did it once. I've told the story.
There's
in the
a difference
before.
Between watching Mitch McConnell walk through Congress and then seeing Doug fall. I mean, come on, Kang.
I hope there's a difference. I just fell out of the damn chair. Like the chair just tipped over and I went down. I'm like, I have no idea how I did that. I don't even think I can recreate it. Like, it was just sliding the chair over this way and.
It honestly looked like it was someone did it to you on purpose. That's the only way that could have happened, but it didn't.
But there was nobody else there.
There was no one there. Well, he just fell.
Did anybody give thought that maybe it was a spirit?
Like a ghost?
Yeah.
I gave that no thought because I don't believe in ghosts. Hmm. Although Kang does. Do you know why Kang does?
Well, I brought it up this morning. It's Halloween right now, and I don't know if you remember this. One night, I was up. I don't even know if I was up or not. All of a sudden, I went downstairs at like 3 in the morning. The TV was on for no reason. We definitely turned off the TV before we went to bed.
A little poltergeist action.
Has that ever happened to you, Gator, where you just all of a sudden
there are
something
things,
was...
Yeah, like I swear to God, I turned that light off and then you wake up the night and the light's on. Yeah, it's interesting. You're saying this and then, you know, I put two and two together with Doug and my... Facebook photo came up the other day. And it's one of my favorite pictures that comes up, you know, periodically. Hey, on this date, remember. But now I'm thinking about it even more and giving me a little chills. It's a picture of that I took of you and Jamie Samuelson together at a Pistons game, and you're both wearing like plaid shirts, plaid sport shirts, if you will, or collared shirts. Is this Jamie's ghost getting back at us?
Could be.
Is Samuelson messing with us?
If there is a ghost that would mess with me, it would be Jamie.
It would 100% be Jamie.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just fell out of the chair.
Maybe didn't just fall out of the chair.
Yeah, but we didn't even have a short show yesterday.
that's when Jamie
that's
would
That's right.
It,
that's when the ire would really come up.
Well, be careful of those chairs with wheels on them. Actually, all chairs are dangerous for me, but I live on the edge when I'm in a chair. We get into Jimmy's office for meetings, I immediately tilt back.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, you're ready to fall down. You're seeing you choosing like X-Files music.
I was just thinking of something creepy. I don't know.
It's creepy. It's creepy. He's going to go with Halloween. He's going to go with Friday the 13th. X-Files is equally creepy.
The unknown.
Marlon and Wall Lake writes in, gentlemen, it's time to make the trade with the Titans and get Snead here. Arnold is coming back and Reed has no timetable on his return. You'll have a nice punch, 1-2 punch at corner with Robertson in the slot. Makes too much sense. I know he's out a few weeks, but when he's healthy, he would fit perfectly.
So Snead's contract, he's got an out after this year, but he signed for a couple more. He's making $18 million this year in base salary. So you're talking probably $10 million to acquire him. Because you'd have his salary for the rest of the year.
What's his cap hit next year?
His cap hit next year is $20 million.
Okay, so this might not matter to Marlon, And it might not matter to, was the previous caller, Dave, Kevin, whoever it was. It matters to Brad Holmes. I don't think he wants to take on cap hits beyond this year.
I don't think he does either, because he's got players like Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell that are first-round picks that have the fifth-year option that they're going to have to pick up, and they're going to start working on extensions for them probably as soon as this offseason, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you've got guys that you're going to have to extend, like Sam Laporta and Brian Branch.
More feedback here to the Carson. And now I'm not – I think you listen, but
– well, would I rather have Brian Branch at $20 million or Ladarius Snead at $20
million? I would rather have Brian Branch.
I would rather have Brian Branch as well.
They gave Hutchinson the contract extension so they could hide behind the fact that they're not going to make a big boy move so the public thinks, yeah, we're serious. Look how we paid our guy.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
When in reality, there's so much more to be done. That's from Duffy.
Yeah, the big boy move. And so giving somebody $180 million or whatever it was for Hutch, that's not a big boy move.
No.
That's just a cover-up for not making a big boy move.
Yep.
So making the big boy move is a cover-up for not making a big boy move. Thanks. Great. That's great insight. Do I think that the Lions could add more to this team? Yes, and they have the cap space to do it on rental basis. I think the Lions are going to be active between now and Tuesday, and specifically, I think they're going to be very active after their game on Sunday when they see what else is going on in the NFL. What this person, this texter, doesn't know is the same thing that you don't know and that I don't know, and that Jared Goff told us yesterday that nobody knows. Nobody knows who's available. Only the GMs do. And they're talking to each other. They're not talking to the press. Only they know what's going on. So as much as you may covet some big-time defensive end that you think is available, they may not be available because you don't know. I don't know.
Headline from November 5th, 2024. Howie Roseman and Eagles sit out 2024 trade deadline flurry. Okay. You don't have to make a trade to necessarily be a Super Bowl contender. If the right trade didn't come along for Howie Roseman and the Eagles last year, so they didn't pull the trigger, the same thing can be true here. There's no doubt that Brad Holmes is working the phones.
Look, there are different ways of doing things. And the Eagles made their big moves in the offseason. Prior to last year when they added Saquon Barkley and others. Those were big moves that they made, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why they didn't make a move at the trade deadline. There are so many factors that go into it. How much money you have to spend, what you're looking at in future caps. And if all this sets up for the Lions not doing anything, I think the reason that they wouldn't be doing anything is because the player that they would want is not available to them. But wait, I don't like these preemptive and set it in stone. They're not putting their big boy pants on and making a big boy move when they literally just did that.
Well,
and then the person is going to say, and don't tell me, which is the worst argument ever. No, that's the number one argument. Don't tell me I can't use the number one argument in an argument.
The thing about it is I am also very, very intrigued. We've never had a GM draft like this.
Never.
And so the idea that he keeps adding draft classes is really intriguing to me. I'm not against just letting Brad Holmes cook and do his thing. I'm not convinced he's not building a very sustainable Super Bowl contender for a long time. Draft, develop, sign. Draft, develop, sign. Then let walk. Eventually he's going to have to start cycling guys out. But
at some point you think they would have to cycle some guys out.
Jason on a cell, you're on 97, won the ticket. Hi, Jason.
Hey, thanks for letting me on.
Sure.
I just wanted to bring up the point that another caller made about the backup quarterback situation and wanting to trade for someone, it doesn't matter, because if Jared Goff goes down, Kyle Allen's our best option. You know, you're not going to find someone that's going to be a better option at this point in the year. Kyle Allen knows the offense. One of you guys recommended Russell Wilson. That guy's a dumpster fire. It's just a name at this point. And also to the point on Brian Branch and Laporta, you're going to have to let one of those guys walk. And
you're probably okay with letting Brian Branch walk. I'm okay letting both of them walk. You can find both of those guys in the draft, especially a tight end more so. But I'm okay letting both of those guys walk if it means going after a marquee free agent instead, or re-signing a Jack Campbell to a long-term deal.
Thank you, Jason. Dave in Clinton Township, you're next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, there's going to be moves. There's not going to be some wow moves, and that's surprising to me, because if you would have asked me this question 5 years ago, I would have said, yeah, he's going to make some major stuff, because Brad Holmes was coming from an environment with tomorrow and draft picks be damned.
Yep.
Okay, the reason we didn't get a first round the first year for Stafford, they didn't have one. Okay, that's why we had to wait. And thank God we did, because they probably gave us a golf for that. So, yeah, they'll make some moves, but he's looking for, what was the word you used? A sustainable system rather than tomorrow. And, again, that's surprising, because when he first got here, I thought, okay, here we go. He's going to be a Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, the most all-in GM we ever had was Dave Dombrowski. He went all-in year after year after year, and he guaranteed nothing. And there were some Red Wing teams that were successful in that regard. I strike that from the record. But yeah, the last I could think of that we had was Dave Dombrowski, and it guaranteed nothing. I mean, it's fun.
Right. And if the NFL really wanted some big moves, why don't we move the trade deadline to week 15 or 16, because there's too many damn teams still in contention to make deals?
Interesting.
That seems like a late... but I mean, would I entertain making it later than, you know, week 8 in the NFL season, or week 9, whatever this is? Maybe, but I think putting it off until December, I don't like that idea.
Mark in Oakland, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I know why you fell out of your chair.
Why's that?
Well, it's a lot of physics. So you had a center of gravity. When you were sliding over to take a look at the other screen, were you leaning a little bit as
yes,
you were going there?
I absolutely was leaning.
What you did is you moved your center of gravity outside the point of the middle of the chair, and you created a couple of velocity vectors, creating a moment of inertia that tended to rotate your body. And then you had a force vector of the wheels going in the opposite direction, and you just rotated about that force vector.
Mark, are you a physics teacher?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
You have a physics background?
But general engineering and physics, yeah. So, All right.
You staying a holiday in Express?
Never mind.
We're good. Sorry.
That's all I got.
No, listen, vector and inertia, I'm all about it. But the reality is, Kang.
It was a ghost.
It was a ghost.
Yeah.
Force vector. It was a force vector.
Is that another name for ghost?
Force vector. Yeah. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature. where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So, I made the new Eggo protein waffles the other day for my kids, and they couldn't believe how good they tasted, or that they were packed with protein. They have the same great Eggo taste we all know and love, plus 20% of your daily protein. They seriously taste amazing! Whether it's part of your breakfast before school or a quick bite before practice, new Eggo protein waffles and pancakes are an easy way to keep everyone happy. Head to your local grocery store to fuel your morning with Eggo protein waffles and pancakes, available at retailers nationwide.